Man, sometimes I think it's been 21 years. We're never going to win the regular season.
Hey, this is Craig Dilsher Media.
This is DJ Kaya.
This is Elliot D'Souza.
Hey, this is Jason D'Souza from Aldona.
Hey, this is Nash Lobo from Aldona.
This is Pascal D'Souza from Kalamazoo.
Hey, this is Rohit D. Almeida.
Hey, this is Roland Mascarenhas.
Hey, guys, this is Ron Montero from Localin.
Hi, this is Roy Fernandez from Donna Paula.
This is Ryan D'Souza from Cuba.
Hey, this is Steffi DeCruz.
Hey, this is Tony Nazareth, and you are listening to...
And you're listening to the GSL Podcast.
And you're listening to the GSL Podcast.
That's right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the GSL Podcast. Starting off the intro a little bit on a depressing note, but more on that later. Got plenty to recap on this episode. This is going to be a great one, so let's jump right into the news.
You've got mail. You've got mail. You've got mail. You've got mail.
That's right. We have some fan mail this week. This one comes from a Victoria Pinto. She messages about a parasocial. She was asking for a shout out. So she says the Para Association is hosting a parasocial on September 16th of this year. I've attached a flyer with all the details. This event is open for all and would be great if the GSL could put a table or two if possible. Can you please give us a shout out on your podcast and feel free to forward this to anyone you might think would be interested in this. If they are and they want tickets, my cell phone number is 647-521-1181. This event will include a dinner, opportunity to win prizes, dancing, a bar, and much more. If you have any questions, please do not hesitate to reach out. So as you know, here on the podcast, we are always supporting GOA events, Goan events, sporting events involving Goans, anything really related to Goan people. So definitely giving a huge shout out to them. Big ups to them for contacting me and getting the word out on the podcast, as that is a great way to get the message out to the community.
Breaking news.
Oh, snap, news is broken. Breaking news.
That's right. We have some breaking news, and it's a big one. We received via the GSL Insider that a number of transfers have occurred in the league. Now, for those that don't know, there actually is a transfer deadline, usually around July 31st, but the league lets teams know that there is a deadline for which you can transfer teams, you can register new players, remove players, et cetera, et cetera. And usually this deadline day, you know, means absolutely nothing. Almost no one ever leaves their team or transfers team. The only time I can think of a massive transfer happening on deadline day was when Andrew Saville left Aguada for, I believe it was Margao, in the summer of, like, let's say 2010 or something like that. And then on deadline day, because he wasn't getting along with his Margao teammates, he transferred back to Aguada. So that was a huge deadline day transfer. But since then, I can't remember any big transfer of note. But we received an email here. It says, please note the following players have been transferred. There's two transfers. I'm going to break them down one at a time. First one is from Donna Paula to Lotalim. Number one, Tyler Pinto has transferred as a player, and Neil Pinto has transferred as coaching staff. He was a player for Donna Paula, but now he has transferred as a coaching staff. So rather than speculate, I did reach out to the players and teams involved. And from the captain of Lotalim, Ron Montero, he had the following quote to say. Hey, Wendell, from our point of view, this was pretty simple. Neil's older son, Ryan, plays for us, and Neil is a long-term player on our team and decided along with Tyler that they wanted to play and coach on the same team. So thanks to Ron for giving us that quote. And I also messaged Neil himself, the player, trying to get the scoop from him. And he said, for me, it's simple. Lotalim is my home village. My older son plays there, and I also did for several years. I thought I would try and build a team of young guys at Donna Paula, but they lost most of their players from last year. So I then follow up asking him, how come he transferred as a coach, not a player? And he said there are two reasons. One, they only had one spot open on their team at Lotalim. And second, I play in an over 40s league on Wednesdays, and I find that much more enjoyable than playing with young guys. So thanks to Neil for reaching out and giving those quotes. Now, despite what they said, I am going to break down this transfer. To me, this really strikes me as Neil wanting to go to Donna Paula, maybe to interact with them, kind of provide some leadership, and it not working out. And as a result, he left and went back to the team that he's much more familiar with, Lotalim. For Lotulim, you know, they're accepting a new young player. They had one spot open on their roster. They already have his brother on the team. So pretty simple transfer for them to accept. I'm not sure how much realistic playing time Tyler is going to get, seeing as they do have already full roster and their roster is almost stacked. So personally, I'm not a fan of this transfer. I would have loved for them to stick around Donna Paula and see what they could do there. Also, just from a personal development point, Tyler would get a lot more playing time on Donna Paula and be able to interact with his dad if his dad was coaching in that role there, and be able to develop getting lots of playing time, because Lotulim is kind of the team you want to move to when you're a little bit more of a polished player, because they have so much talent, it's very hard to get playing time. Not really the greatest team, I feel, to move if you're very young and trying to develop and get your feet wet in the GSL. So that's kind of the breakdown of this. I think Neil has moved as a coaching role more so to, you know, interact with his sons and coach them and develop them, which is, you know, a great, great move for him. I totally respect that. Wants to be playing and coaching on the same team as his kids. I mean, who wouldn't want that? However, I do know the team is pretty much run by Ron at this point. So I think it's going to be up to Ron to see if he sees value in those two kids and where he sees them in the future of the club. Moving on, we had a second transfer from Mopsa to Margao. So pretty much the farm team sending two players up to their main team. Number one, Dale Lobo Perez, and number two, Antonio Fernandez, both as players. So I'm not going to lie, this one shocked me for a number of reasons. The first thing is, I'm actually very curious as to Dale's kind of position on each team. I remember Dale, he's a defender. He played on Marga originally, and I thought he was a pretty good defender. He wasn't, let's say, you know, top-tier caliber. However, he was definitely solid. I thought he played brilliantly in the Margao system and worked really well with the team and was completely egoless. He never tried to do anything fancy. He'd win the ball, pass it off. So I thought he was a good player for Margao. I was very surprised when he was put on the Mopsa team. I saw that as kind of a demotion for him, so I was very surprised that happened. And then now he's moving back up to Margao. So not sure exactly what's going on there, if maybe he's considered a backup defender and Margao has had some injuries and they need him to move up. We did reach out to Mopsa and Margao, but did not receive any comment as to this transfer. As for Antonio transferring, another kind of mystery to me. Mopsa is a team that really needs leadership guidance, and Antonio was supposed to be their leader, kind of their captain, and guiding these young players through. So I'm not sure why he's left to Margao either, because as far as an impact player, Antonio, you know, kind of a very impactful player back in his day, but I think at this point he's kind of slowed down. He plays much more limited role. So a team like Margao that's kind of challenged for a title and has a lot of dominant young and middle-aged players, I'm surprised that he would transfer to them rather than lead the youth team on Mopsa. So very surprising transfer for me. Not really sure how big a deal it'll make in the end, because I still think Margao was going to be contenders either way, and I still feel like Mopsa is a little bit short either way. So an interesting change, but one that I'm not sure will have large ramifications on the league standings. All right, that's it for the news. Let's jump into some match recaps. All right, first up, we have to talk about a game that occurred last week during the middle of the week between Aguada and Lotulim. This was a makeup game from the first week of the season. This was a very, very important game. Lotulim on track to win the title, but needed to fend off a talented Aguada team to stay on track, because if they dropped any points, Aguada could creep up on them. And obviously, as you know, Aldana in second place, really trying to win the title and catch up to Lotulim. However, this was a very one-sided game. And unfortunately, Aguada could not field, you know, their strongest team. They're missing their goalie, missing a number of players. And Lotulim definitely took advantage of this with a score of 3-0. Two goals from Ron Montero and one goal from Kyle Coelho. The insider reports that, unfortunately, without their normal goalkeeper, two of the goals were kind of very sloppy goals. However, one of them was an absolute belter from Ron Montero, blasting in the top corner. So a good result for Lotulim, keeping them on track, and an unfortunate result for Aguada. They'd kind of lost the title race previously when they lost Lotulim during their second meeting of the season. But this just kind of solidified the fact that they weren't going to be able to catch up to them. Moving on, we have the weekend's game. Starting off again, we'll start off with Aguada again, just to have some continuity here. Playing against Margao. This match, you know, ended in a draw 0-0. But what needs to be mentioned here is that Aguada was playing the entire game with 9 players. Yes, that's right. You heard me. 9 players. It was an 11-on-9 situation in favor of Margao. And I remember I was watching this game and I just couldn't believe that Margao was not winning this game. When you play any team and they're missing key players or missing players in general, you really have to take advantage. And let alone when they're playing two players short. You really have to come up with the win. And credit to Guada, very organized, playing a great formation led by Cruyff, really organizing his team around him, and managed to come up with a 0-0 draw. And it actually should be noted that Steven Fernandez had an amazing chance right in the last minute to actually win the game, and that would have been one of the greatest upsets of the year. So definitely some drop points by Margot, and a great result for Guada, getting out with a tie with only 9 players. Moving on, we had Kolva versus Mopsa. The final score was Kolva 5, Mopsa 0, with a hat trick from Nikhil Cadbet on Kolva, goal from Johnny Van Dreen, and a goal from Carlton De Guerra. Story of this game was a return of JVD, a legend from last season, as many regular podcast listeners know. He's been away with school and playing other teams, so he hasn't featured for Kolva that much this summer. But his brother actually has been taking place and playing very well in his stead. And this was the first game I got to see both of them playing together in the middle, and I absolutely loved watching them. It's great to see two brothers playing together in the middle. They know each other's system. They know each other's playing style. They really just work very well together with passes, moves, and they actually kind of have a similar style, but they complement each other. So really, really good signs for Kolva getting those two working in a resounding victory, 5-0. For Mopsa, another loss for them. They really need to try and get some points, even draws, just to get away from that bottom of the table position. You don't want to end up last in the league. So a bad result for them, but great sign for Kolva getting that result and the return of their star player. Moving on, we had Lotlum versus Bugmalo. Bugmalo on a huge winning streak. Unfortunately, you know, they came in as huge underdogs and they wanted to kind of be the giant killers and upset Lotlum's season, but was not to be, with a final score of 6-1 in favor of Lotlum. Goals from Dane Don Millen with 2, Josh Coelho with 1, Nicholas Green with 1, and Aaron Atwal with 2. And Bugmalo on his debut scoring, Cameron Medwin. This is a story that should be talked about. Bugmalo has been making moves recently. They did sign up Cam Medwin. For those of you that know, he's a very, very talented striker. Been in and out of the league for a long time. He's played in a lot of the indoor tournaments. So was a star of Viva Goa back in the day. So a very, very talented player that can work with Elton in the midfield to generate more chances and finish those chances. So a debut goal for him, very, very impressive. Signed on deadline day by Bugmalo. However, unfortunately, losing 6-1, to be honest, I don't think it's that big a deal. Lotlum is number one in the league. Bugmalo is still trying to find their feet and having some new faces around. It's more the performances you have to look at, but unfortunately they did lose 6-1, and their recent streak of winning and having some good results had to come to an end, and it came to an end against Kolva, and now unfortunately another loss against Lotlum. Moving on to the last game of the weekend, we had Aldana versus Donna Paula. Final score was 7-0. I don't believe this was a 7-0 game at all. The score does not reflect the game. I'm going to describe this game in a lot more detail later on with the guests we have, but just to mention goals from Calvin Rosario, Ryden Pereira, Ethan Fernandez, Richard Fernandez, Nash Lobo, Garrick Nazrin, and of course, yours truly, Wendell Mascarenhas. Now, one thing to know that is actually crazy about this stat is it's 7-0, and all 7 goals were scored by different people. Like, that is wild for that to actually happen. But as I said, we'll get into this game in more detail later on, so I'm going to move on right now to the game that was played yesterday, a midweek makeup game between Aguada and Aldana. This was a game with a lot of ramifications. Aguada has pretty much already conceded the title race with their loss to Lotlum. But for us, we're still in the hunt. As long as Lotlum were to lose a game, tie, you know, drops a couple of points, we were still on track to maybe steal the league right at the end. So big game on both sides. For me, it wasn't so much about the result. Like, we're an undefeated team, so I wanted us to at least have a tie, obviously, so we don't lose our undefeated streak. But actually, for me, my biggest thing was we're playing the 2-time defending champions, and we've been doing so well this year. We're second place, but here's a real test. Like, we're playing a top caliber team. How will we compete? So jumping into the game itself, played at a beautiful stadium in Brampton, Morris Kerbal Park. Shout out to Croydon from Aguada for booking the fields. Great, great fields. Probably one of the nicest fields I've ever played on. So huge shout out to him. Thanks for that. The game itself was a great game for all those watching. I felt that, you know, we dominated possession right from the beginning. Aguada was playing in a formation with Cruyff as a center back just to, you know, keep them locked down. I thought he was doing very well on defense, but by Cruyff being a center defender, he's mostly out of the game. And although the rest of the team was maintaining, pressure on the ball and playing very athletically and well, you miss that, that creativity that Cruyff brings to the team. So I felt that that was a big loss for them and something we could take advantage of. And we were dominating possession the first half, hit the post, hit the crossbar, a number of close chances. However, about 30 minutes into the first half, a foul on Steven D'Souza, giving a free kick just outside the 18-yard box. We set up the wall, and Steven took it and just blasted it just around the wall and in the bottom left corner. Beautiful free kick by Steven. And it's actually funny because I was planning on calling out Steven. Steven's a player obviously leading the Golden Boot race, scoring a ton of goals, playing very well. But I had mentioned in a previous episode that he hasn't really stepped up in the big games against the bigger teams. A lot of his goals have come against lesser opposition. He wasn't scoring those bigger games against Marga, Lotlum, stuff like that, title contending games. And what do you know? He stepped up to the challenge, a beautiful free kick by him. So going into half, 1-0 for Aguada. Second half, we told our team, keep the exact same game plan. We're getting unlucky with chances, but we're dominating possession. Just keep everything the same. Casey showed up at halftime for Aguada. So he slotted into center defense and Cruyff moved up into the middle. So this gave them that creativity that I said they were lacking. However, Aguada's offense is really based on a lot of through balls and longer balls towards their two forwards, Steven and Lester. But I have to say, I love the way these two play with each other. You can tell they just trust each other. Like, at no point are they trying to hog the ball from each other. Whenever one gets it, he drops it to the other one. They're making runs off each other. They're crossing each other. There's a lot of selfless play between the two of them. So I really like to see that from them. A great duo as far as I'm concerned. However, they weren't able to develop many chances. And luckily, we received a free kick also just outside the 18-yard box early on in the second half. And Calvin Rosario stepping up and just blasting a free kick over the wall, bottom right corner. No chance for the goalkeeper, Croydon. So beautiful, beautiful goal. Pretty much a game of the story of two free kicks. And as I said, from our point of view, a great comeback. We didn't want to lose this team. We wanted to preserve our undefeated streak. Unfortunately, we needed 3 points to really catch the Lotlum, so we're pressing for that winning goal. And we had a number of chances but couldn't close the deal. Last kick of the game, after a controversial foul, Cruyff Dos Remedios, former MVP, gets the ball on his favored left foot and just blasts it from about the 25-yard mark, and the ball goes literally in the top left corner exactly. A beautiful goal and a game winner. He went wild. Their team went wild. The game was over pretty much right after. So steals a victory, ends our undefeated season, and Aguada leaves with a victory 2-1. As much as I hate to say it, this goal was absolutely phenomenal. I had nightmares about it. I could keep replaying it over and over in my mind just because it made me realize that, no matter how well you're playing, how difficult it is to win this league. We were going into this game undefeated, with crucial victories, playing well. And just like that, your undefeated season's over. And just like that, our title chance is pretty much over, as Lotlum has pretty much won the league again. So great goal by him, but crushing, crushing defeat for us. Really didn't feel like we deserved to lose that game. Very happy with our performance, but you really need to come up with a result. And that's the beauty of this Aguada team is, even on the games they don't have their best game, they have so many game-changing players that just, boom, in a flash. Cruyff, Cruyff will admit himself, he wasn't as involved in the game as he'd like to be. He wasn't creating as much as he usually does. Just a moment of brilliance, and that's a game winner right there. So very, very tough loss for us to take. But enough about that. Let's move on. And joining me on the line now, we have a very special guest. Please welcome the coach of Donna Paula, Abel Nunes. Abel, how's it going?
Hey, Wendell, how are you doing?
Good.
I'm doing well, thanks.
So thanks for coming on the show. And Donna Paula is a team, we talk about all the time. Obviously, everyone's played against them. We see you every week. But it's not a team we know very much about. Obviously, it was started a few years ago, firstly under the name of Old Goa, then switching the name to Donna Paula. So can you give us a little bit of background history on how this team was formed and where the majority of your players came from?
So we formed this team 4 years ago. This is our fourth season in the league. The first 2 years we played under the name of Old Goa. And it was just a bunch of guys who were passionate about the game, getting together and forming a team. And that's what it was 4 years ago. 2 years ago, we changed our our name from Old Goa to Donna Paula, and that's what it's been for the last 2 years. Last year we had a couple of guys from the old Double E join our team, and they left this year to join the new Bogmalo team. So we lost 6 of our players and essentially have started rebuilding again. So that's where we are today and intend to rebuild for the years to come.
Yeah, so I mentioned before on the podcast, I felt bad because in my opinion, you know, you guys were a new team. Obviously, it was very challenging to be a new team in the league. There's a lot of adjustments, especially with younger players. It's a very physical league. You really have to adapt and get used to it. But I felt you guys were making progress. I felt you had good leadership, as you said, people coming over from Dublin with Roy especially. Unfortunately, a lot of them did leave for Bogmalo. And as you said, this has forced you guys to do another rebuild. As far as your team goes right now, I know that you have a coach, Sean. We played you this past weekend. I was very impressed by him. Very positive coach. Thought he was giving you guys good direction, and that's kind of what your team needs. I've always felt your team has needed, you know, a strong leadership presence both on and off the field. Can you talk to us a little bit about your coaching structure right now and leadership amongst the team? Do you have a captain? How does it work exactly with Donna Paula right now?
Our captain is Daniel D'Souza. He's actually Sean's son, the coach's son. And that's our captain. Sean has got his credentials, his coaching credentials, our rebuilding process is what it is. It is a process, and it will take some time to get to where Sean wants us to be. Sean is a very good coach, and the players believe in him.
I think that's a very strong point you make, is that the players need to believe in the system and believe in the coach. So what you're saying is that he's started the process, he's coaching players, but you're saying that everyone's on board and they like where he's taking the team?
Yes, definitely. And yeah. Sean is here for the long run. So going forward, I mean, we have one major problem in that we don't have a designated goalkeeper, and that's our major problem. The goalkeeper we had last year left the team due to work and study commitments. And that left a big hole in our full arsenal.
Yeah, no, definitely. I know that when we were playing you last weekend, one of your important team members, Daniel, who plays, you know, center defense, was forced to play in net. So that was very unfortunate, you know, putting him in a position he's not really used to and taking him away from the position of leadership that he's normally in. As far as the structure of the team, so you have a coach, he's in it for the long term. That's great to hear. I think exactly what Donna Paula needs is stability. I've always compared Donna Paula to Navalim when they first entered the league. For those that don't know, Navalim entered with a lot of young players, and they used to get hammered every single game for, you know, a year or two. Then they slowly improved to the point where finally they found an identity. They had young players. They were in shape. They had a good system. And they rode that wave all the way to the finals, losing in penalty shots. They almost actually won an entire championship. So when it comes to Donna Paula, what are your goals for this season? What do you guys say in your team meetings? Obviously, you've had a lot of tough results. How do you guys bounce back from that? And what do you tell the team?
I mean, I think it's a success as long as the team plays the process or plays the way that the coach tells them to play. I mean, right now, going into every game, we don't have a goalkeeper, and it shows. We put in a player in goal, any player in goal who's not a goalkeeper, and as long as we manage to keep possession and play the true balls and whatever the coach is trying to implement, I think we will improve and we will get there. It is a process.
I've noticed definitely a possession-based game. So we'll talk a little bit about the result this weekend. Obviously, we as Aldena beat you guys 7-0, but I don't think that there was a 7-0 game. From my perspective, I try and stay objective, and what I saw was, you know, two teams playing each other, both trying to maintain possession. The only difference in the game and the reason for us going up a number of goals was that I found Donna Paula is very good at passing and the idea of possession. They just either tend to give the ball away a little too cheaply, and on the other side of the ball, when they're playing defense, they kind of give the other team too much space. These are two very common errors of new teams and newer players. However, I felt the overall system was very, very good. So is this possession-based system something that the coach and yourself are trying to instill the players and instill in the team? Is that on purpose?
Yes, it is. I mean, like I say, it is a process and it will show in maybe not this year, but next year for sure.
Perfect. Exactly. So it's a year-to-year thing. As you said, the most important thing is playing in the system and getting better each week. The beauty of this league, you know, a lot of people complain there's only 8 teams, so everyone makes the playoffs. But one of the nice aspects of that, you know, an aspect no one talks about is that because you know as Donna Paula you're going to make the playoffs, you have time to be more patient, try and put the right system in, try and give these players some confidence in the system and get used to playing each other, you know, learning each other's names, styles, things like that. So you know no matter what, you're going to make the playoffs. And obviously, it's very tough being a lower seed, but there's always the chance of, you know, a huge upset, things like that happening in the playoffs.
Yeah, you know what? We got 3 more weeks to get this team to where Sean wants the team to be. And let's see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. That's the perfect mentality. So going back to a game a few weeks ago, when you guys actually got your first win of the season, you beat Mopsa 3-0. Huge victory for you guys, a great performance. We were playing afterwards, and you know, I remember us asking your team what was the score, and you could just tell your team was beaming with pride that they'd got their first win of the season. They had a solid game. They'd won 3-0. Tell us about what that win did for your team. Was it a huge morale boost like we thought it would be?
Yes, it would. I mean, it was a big team individual effort, and it was a big morale booster for the entire team. More so because, you know what, our players, the system worked. They played the way we wanted them to play, we intend to build on it with maybe some of the games to come. Maybe there are only 2 games left. And they're against tough opponents, but let's see how it goes.
Perfect, perfect. And then something we mentioned, you know, we found out this week that there were a number of transfers throughout the league on the deadline day. A couple of transfers involving your team. Unfortunately, Neil Pinto leaving for Lotlum as a coaching role, and his son, Tyler Pinto, who featured for you, leaving as a player role. Can you comment on these transfers and if you had any involvement or what happened there exactly?
So both Neil and Tyler, as you said, have been transferred to Lutoli. However, I mean, I do feel bad that they moved on, but it's something that Neil wanted to do. So Neil wanted to play with his older son Ryan, and I think it's a package deal. If Neil goes, Tyler goes, and that's what it is. And I feel bad because I believe it's a decision that both Neil and Tyler made. And even though I think that Tyler would have had more playing time with us, it's a decision I respect.
Yeah, no, definitely. I kind of actually said a similar thing when I commented on the transfer. I think a dad wanted to play with his 2 sons on the same team. No one can deny that. That's like more important than anything, I think. But just as you said, from a development point of view, I feel like both Neil and Tyler could get a lot of playing time with your team, especially Tyler, and develop a lot, because you really need game time. I'm sure you know from all your players playing, as much as you try and work on things in practice and in games, it's really that game time in the heat of the moment, getting experience with each other, that you're really going to develop.
Yes. Unfortunately, you're right.
Yeah, exactly. So just a couple more questions for you, just because we never really get to hear from the Donna Paula guys. Is there anyone in the league that you guys consider your rivals, or any teams that you guys particularly enjoy playing against, or really, you know, try and beat, a little bit extra pep in your step kind of thing?
So I think we step up for every team. It's not any one team that we step up for. It's we play our best against every team, and we play to the system that Sean has coached us on.
Okay, so it's more an internal thing. You guys are really working on your own game rather than focusing on other teams.
Right.
And then from your perspective, let's say Donna Paula didn't win the championships this year, who do you think is the best team in the league and probably going to win the championship? What would your prediction be?
I think it's very close between 3 teams. It's between Lutoli, yourselves, and Aguada.
Okay.
And Colva is close.
Colva's close. Okay, so you see kind of the top tier is Lotlim, ourselves, Aldana, and Aguada, and then Colva kind of shortly behind.
Right.
Okay, yeah, that's good to know. And then as far as, you know, predictions go, each week on the show, we like to look ahead to the following week and make some match predictions. So So I'm just going to go through some of the games coming up this Sunday, and if you could give your, I'll give my opinion and score, and then you can give yours as well. It doesn't have to be exact. It's more just, you know, your instinct, what comes to mind. So looking ahead, first game of the weekend, we have Aldana versus Margao. Unfortunately for us, you know, having a loss in midweek to Aguada, our undefeated season is over, but we do want to secure second place. So this is a really, really big game for us. However, we are missing a number of players. So I'm going to predict actually a tie of 1-1. How about yourself?
So I know Margao is missing players as well. So you both are missing players going in. I see yourselves beating Margao by a goal, if any.
Oh, okay, perfect. So I didn't know Margao was missing players too. That's some good insider information. So maybe we do have a better chance. Maybe I would have predicted a win. But who knows? Too late to go back now. Next up, we have Bugmalo versus Mopsa. This is a tough one to predict. I mean, Bugmalo was on the rise. They were winning lots of games, but then they've kind of had a couple of come-down-to-earth games. That being said, I do think Bugmalo is trying to ramp up for the playoffs, so I'm going to predict Bugmalo to win with a score of 2-1.
I think Bugmalo will win. I think it's going to be close, but I'm sure it will be a one-goal separation.
Perfect. Next up, we have Lotlum versus Kolva. Lotlum pretty much has the title in their hands now. I think they're just going to continue to win all the way through till the end of the season. So I'm going to predict Lotlum to win this game 3-0.
I don't know if it will be a shutout on that. I think it will be 3-1.
Okay, moving on to the last game of the weekend, we have your team, Donna Paula, versus Aguada. You know, a lot always depends on which Aguada team will show up if they have their full team. I personally do think Aguada is just too strong a team. As you said, you consider them one of the top three teams to win the whole thing. So I'm going to predict Aguada to win by a score of 3-1.
I'm going to reserve my comment on that one.
Fair enough. I mean, it's always hard to comment on your own team's game. Obviously, we all believe we're going to win every game, so I appreciate that. I think secretly, maybe deep inside, you think your team's going to win. You just don't want to put it on the airwaves.
Yeah,
exactly. So there's the comment we were looking for. Perfect. Yeah, no, definitely have to have confidence in your own team. I respect that. Well, that's all the games for this weekend. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Abel. It's honestly great to hear from your team. Your team is always a very respectful, great team to play, very clean, no dirty players, anything like that. And as I said, I can see your possession-based system. It's very difficult to do with a young, new team. But as you said, you have a coach in place, you have a system in place, so now all you need is time.
Definitely. Thank you very much, Wendell.
No problem. Have a good night. All right, that's it for this week's episode. Thanks so much to Abel for coming on the show. Great guy to talk to and a very nice perspective on the league. So always nice to have a new team's opinion. There's only 2 weeks left until the end of the regular season. And what that means is playoffs are coming. So get pumped up for that. And as always, we'll be back next week with a brand new episode.